Good to see everyone who is assembled on this Lord's Day morning to worship God in spirit and in truth with faithful brethren. We're thankful for the presence of each and every individual here. I would encourage you to get your Bible out and to open it up to Psalm 23. I know many, if not most of us, know and recognize the words of this psalm, perhaps even by heart. But I want to study from it this morning. I want us to have our Bibles open and to go through verse by verse and even phrase by phrase and see just what it is that the Holy Spirit is telling us in this particular psalm. And as we begin, I'd like for us to simply read through the verses of this psalm and to get it before our hearts and before our minds. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This psalm has brought strength and comfort to millions of people through the ages and throughout the world. It's often referred to and quoted in times of sorrow and grief. I can't tell you how many programs that I have from funerals that have the text of this psalm printed on them in some place. Even non-religious people recognize these words and often respond to them appropriately. What I've come to understand from this psalm and studying it outside of the context of a funeral or a moment of grief is that this psalm isn't just for funerals. This psalm actually is for everyday living. There are truths that are found in these words that we just read that apply to our lives every moment of every day. This psalm, to help us to appreciate this psalm, and help us to appreciate how it applies to our lives every day, we need to put ourselves in the mind frame of one that would respond to it in a positive manner. This is often referred to as the shepherd's psalm, right? And David, we know that David was a shepherd and that David wrote this psalm. But this psalm is not written from a shepherd's point of view. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David makes himself a sheep. And in this psalm, he is talking about the Lord and the blessings that he has found in serving the Lord and entrusting the Lord to be his shepherd every day of his life. And we're not going to fully grasp what this psalm can mean to us until we put ourselves in David's feet. You know, little kids from time to time play a game. Well, what would you like to be? What would you like to do? And sometimes a version of that game is, what kind of animal would you like to be? And I have to admit, I played that game some when I was a little kid. I was always loved sharks. I mean, Shark Week, that's a big deal at my house. I like sharks, and I always thought, well, now, wouldn't that be great? I mean, if you love fresh seafood, who wouldn't want to be a shark? And so if you would have asked me, what animal do you want to be? Well, I think being a shark would be great. Or you might think a horse. You know, out by where my grandparents live, by where my grandmother lives, there's a bunch of wild stallions out there that are allowed to just roam on the prairie. And it's something to see them standing there, or even to see them running as fast as they can. Maybe it'd be a horse. Maybe it'd be an eagle to soar above. Whatever it might be, whatever appeals to you. How many of us would say, I want to be a sheep? Not very many. I think that line would be very short. But you know, for us to appreciate this psalm, and for us to appreciate what God wants to be for us and wants to give us, we've got to be sheep. We've got to approach this psalm as a sheep. And here we have encountered another sheep, and his name is David. And this sheep is saying, let me tell you about my shepherd. Let me tell you what my shepherd does for me. And thus the psalm unfolds. And thus we're going to learn some here about what God wants to be for us and wants to do for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why not, David? Well, because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And you look at this phrase in this verse, and obviously your eyes are drawn to the phrase green pastures. Where else would a sheep want to be? But to be there in the green pastures and have food that is plenteous. But I want to tell you, the emphasis on this phrase should not be on the green pastures. Instead, the emphasis should be on the phrase, he maketh me to lie down. God gives us rest. God gives us a place in which we can let down our guard and we can lie down and we can rest. Sheep, I understand that sheep have to be made to rest. And if they don't, they'll become tired, they'll become weak, and they'll become sick. But here's the thing, sheep are not going to rest until they feel safe and feel satisfied. And so the shepherd takes it upon himself to find the right place for them to rest. His presence gives them freedom from fear. As long as he can be seen, they're not alarmed. They are okay, and they're at rest. And the green pasture gives them freedom from want. They know that they're going to have all the food that they need. And so our good shepherd gives us rest. He makes us to lie down in the green pastures. And David says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Every animal needs water to survive. It's absolutely essential. Every animal has that thirst, but here's something else about sheep. Sheep are afraid of running water. Why, a stream that's coming down from a mountain and the melted snow up there, and that running water in that stream, that would be the ideal place for you and I to go to find refreshment and to find clean and cold water. Sheep won't go near it because they're afraid of the sound of the running water. And so the shepherd has to find the still waters to lead his sheep to. And sometimes shepherds would dam up a stream or a brook and pull the water off to the side, where it would be calm and still so that the sheep would come and drink there. Sometimes when there was no stream nearby, the shepherd would approach a well and would draw the water and first water his sheep, and then he would draw water for himself. That was the job of the shepherd, to find that refreshment, to find that water for his sheep. And that's exactly what God does for us. He doesn't lead us to a place that is terrifying to us, a place where we would be afraid to let down our guard. He finds the still waters. Look back over your life and see if you haven't been led to the still waters from time to time in your life. Our shepherd leads us beside the still waters. Even more than that, David says, he restoreth my soul. Here's the idea of restoration or rescue. I tell you, sheep are not very smart. I don't know a lot about sheep, but I do know that. We raised some sheep when I was little. Not a whole flock, but a couple of sheep. And they weren't very smart. We had them in a pen, and it didn't take long before there wasn't anything green left in that pen. They scraped it all off in their eating. And so what we would do every once in a while during the day is we would tie them up outside. And we had one sheep, and she had a baby, and we would put a collar around that mama. And we would tie her up to a tree. About once every hour, you had to go outside and get that sheep out from around that tree. Because during that hour, she would wind that rope up and she would tie herself up. And I can't explain to you the humorous situations I found that sheep in going outside to get her off of that tree. She'd tie herself up to it. She had to be rescued. Sheep aren't very smart. And that's why we don't care so much for the idea of being sheep. But you know what? God looks down on us and says, you're sheep. You're sheep. You need that care. You need that rescue from time to time. Whenever the sheep would wander off, what does the New Testament say? The shepherd would leave the 99 and go out in search of the one and to bring it back into the fold. There's that. He restores my soul. Or they would wander off into a cliff. They'd have to be rescued. They'd fall into a pit. And there the shepherd would use his staff with the hook on the end of it to rescue that sheep and to pull it back up to safety. Whenever we get ourselves into trouble, and we do, who's there to help us? Who's there to help us to stand back up on our feet? Who's there to bring us back into the fold if it's not our shepherd? That beautiful picture of the sheep that's wandered away. We made mention of it. Let's turn to it and read very quickly here in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have three parables about things that are lost. We know that a woman loses a coin. We know that a man loses his son. But here in the beginning, a shepherd has lost his sheep. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Look at the picture here, that a sheep has wandered astray, and not only has the shepherd gone to rescue it, but lays it on his shoulders to carry it back into the fold. You see, when we sin and we depart from God, the moment that we repent and ask for God's forgiveness, He brings us back into the fold. There's that beautiful picture. He restores my soul. That shepherd goes out and looks for his sheep. And David goes on and says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sheep, I understand, have to be on the move. If you leave him in one pasture too long, that pasture's going to look like that pen that we had that sheep in when I was growing up. There ain't going to be anything there. And these shepherds use these different pastures throughout the year, and so they can't allow one to be raised flat. They have to keep the sheep constantly on the move. And the shepherd has to know where to take them to. Has to know what path is going to take them to the next pasture that he wants them to graze upon. And also, sheep have a tendency to stray, as we've already pointed out. They wander off in search of greener pastures with no thought to the possible danger that lies ahead. And the shepherd has to be watching over this flock of sheep, has to know when it's time to go, and he leads them. The shepherd will stand out before them and will call out to them. And remember what Jesus said about the shepherd? "I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me." And the people there that day knew exactly what he was talking about, because that was true of sheep and shepherds. Matter of fact, it wasn't uncommon, even in our day today in agricultural settings, for two shepherds to bring two flocks of sheep together, and they may mingle for a time, but when it's time for them to part, one shepherd will go this way, the other shepherd will go this other way, they will both call to their sheep, and they will part perfectly. Each sheep will go with his shepherd, and will follow his shepherd. And notice, David says, "He leadeth me." Now, I'm kind of like John. John isn't here. John Sellers isn't here. We could pick on him if we wanted to, but I'll just say I share one of his likes. I like Westerns. And I know he likes Westerns as well. And you get those cowboys out there that are driving their cattle. And they get behind the cattle with their horses, and they drive the cattle on. You don't drive sheep. Sheep follow. The shepherd has to get out in front and call his sheep, and they follow him. We don't have a cattleman behind us spiritually driving us on. We've got a good shepherd who's gone on ahead. He says, "I know the path. I know where I want to take you. Follow me down these paths of righteousness." And so we have the good shepherd who leads us. He knows where he is going. He knows where he wants to take us. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, many people see this as a reference to crossing over the veil of death. And I think certainly it could apply to that time period in our lives. But I want to tell you, and you know this already, that death is not the only valley that we have to go through in life, is it? There are lots of valleys that we have to go through in our life. And any one of them and every one of them would be the valley of the shadow of death. It was there in that valley where the predators could hide. Where the bear and the cat and the wolf could hide and could pounce out of the darkness and pounce out of one of those obstacles there and take one of the sheep. But what David says is, when my shepherd leads me through, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to fear any evil because he is there. The rich summer pastures were on the tops of the mountains. And that's where the sheep were taken to in the summertime. But in order to get to the tops of the mountains, oftentimes they had to go down through the valley. But the sheep weren't afraid as long as the shepherd was there. We have to go through these valleys from time to time in our lives. And it's not just the reality of our own death that's coming. And it's not just the reality of the death of a loved one that we have faced or may have to face in the future. There are lots of painful valleys that we have to go through in our lives. But haven't we experienced enough to know that pain and suffering plays a role in our lives? It helps to form us, helps to develop our character, it helps us to appreciate when we are up on the mountain, helps us to appreciate life more. There are valleys that have to be traveled, but we are not to fear. Why? Because our shepherd is there with us every step of the way. And that sheep wouldn't naturally go to that valley on his own. But he'll follow a shepherd through there. Why? Because he trusts the shepherd to take care of him. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These were two tools that the shepherd had. The rod. The rod really would be more like what we would recognize as a club. It was a short piece of wood that the shepherd would use to fight off animals, to beat animals back with, or sometimes he would throw it into the bushes to make a noise and scare the sheep back towards him. It was a tool that he used, a defensive tool. And of course, there's the staff, the shepherd's staff, the long pole that had the hook on it that could be used to gently nudge sheep to go into the right direction. Well, the sheep weren't afraid to go through even the darkest of valleys because their shepherd was there and he was going to protect them. And they knew that he was going to protect them. David wasn't afraid. How about you and I? Are we afraid when we have to go through those valleys? Or do we trust in God to see us through? Do we trust in God to protect us? Do we trust that God is there and that God is in control and that God is going to comfort us as we go through these valleys in our lives? David says, let me tell you about my shepherd. He protects me. He protects me as I have to go through the valleys of life. Then in verse 5, David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There are some who study Psalm 23 and they want the imagery to change here between verses 4 and 5 to go from that of a shepherd to that of a servant or a guest coming into the house of the master, because here he is preparing a table for him before the presence of his enemies. But I insist that the imagery here is that which has been throughout. And that is the image of a shepherd taking care of his sheep. The word table obviously refers to the piece of furniture you have in your dining room where you put your meals out and you eat your meals there. But you look it up in the dictionary. The word table also refers to a flat plateau of pasture land. We sing from time to time the song Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. That's the idea there. The tableland is that green pasture. And that's where the shepherd is wanting to lead us to heaven's tableland. So here David is still a sheep. And he says, you've prepared a table for me. Well, we understand how you can prepare a table and put out the diningware and put out the food and all, but how do you prepare a pasture? Well, the shepherd would have to go through the pasture and make sure there weren't any dangers there. If there were poisonous weeds, the shepherd would remove them so that his sheep would be safe, would check out the perimeter, make sure there are no predators there in the pasture itself to threaten the sheep. He prepared the table for them. David says of God, "Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The predators are there in the wild, and perhaps they could even be seen. But as long as the shepherd was there, the sheep were okay. The shepherd kept vigilant watch over his flock and allowed them to feed safely while the predators were lurking even at a short distance away. The sheep don't fear the predator because they know that the shepherd is there. The predators are out there. The predators are out there. And of course, we've got the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we live in a world that is more and more against what you and I stand for in following Christ. The predators are there. The dangers are there. But are we worried about them? Not if we're with the shepherd, we're not. God's going to take care of us. God is going to watch over us and protect us. And then there is the phrase, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In the summer, the flies and other insects would bother the sheep. And sometimes it would get so bad that the sheep, they wouldn't eat, they wouldn't rest, the mothers wouldn't nurse their young. Something had to be done. And so what shepherds would do is they would carry an oil-like substance with them, and it would be applied to the noses of the sheep. "Thou anointest my head with oil." You protect me. You take care of me. You provide for me. God's provision from the annoyances of life is there for us today if we'll but ask for it, right? "Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you." God will take those annoyances away if we'll let Him, if we will allow Him. David says, "Let me tell you about my shepherd. Let me tell you what He does for me. Let me tell you why I'm glad to be in His fold." And if we will view this psalm as a sheep, then certainly we can see the blessings that God wants to give us. Look at some spiritual applications. The things that were done physically for the sheep, of course, correspond to spiritual blessings that God wants to give us if we will come into His fold and we will make Him truly our shepherd. We notice that God provides. The shepherd provided for the sheep. And this is shown many times here in this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 5 says, "My cup runneth over." Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Again and again through this psalm, David says, "I love my shepherd because He provides for me. He gives me what I need." And I tell you, God does the same thing for us spiritually today. He does it physically, but He also does it spiritually for us. He provides spiritual nourishment through His Word. That's the green pasture for us. As we open up His Word and read from it and feast upon it, we get the nourishment that we need. He provides spiritual rest with us through the peace that passes all understanding. We can let down our guard. We can be at rest. We can relax no matter what's going on around us because we pray unto God. We cast our cares upon Him and He gives us that rest through peace. He provides spiritual restoration through forgiveness. Whenever we realize that we've wandered away from God and we do repent and we do ask forgiveness, He places us on His shoulder and brings us back into the fold. There's that restoration that's provided to anyone here who's a Christian who has sin in their life. They can be restored. Your shepherd is wanting to bring you back into the fold, and He provides spiritual comfort through His protection and through His discipline. God is always there. God provides for us just like a shepherd does. God directs us just like a shepherd does. Remember, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." And God will lead us if we will respond to His voice. How does He do that? Do we wait for Him to whisper something in our ears at night? No, we get out this book and we read this book. And we follow what this book says. And this book leads us down the path of righteousness. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. We take it on ourselves, we're going to wander off into disaster. But if we'll follow the path of God, then we have God leading us and directing us through His Word. You know, God hasn't left us to blaze our own trail back to heaven. Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me. Jesus says, follow me, and I'll take you to heaven's tableland. So God, as the good shepherd, He directs us today, and God protects us. David said, I'll fear no evil, and there was evil there. And there was reason to fear if he took his eye off of the shepherd, but he didn't. He had no reason to fear evil because the shepherd was there. And we have no reason to fear as long as we are with God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? If not, I don't think the Lord is your shepherd. I don't think He really is. God protects us. God provides that protection for us. His presence allows us to eat in peace, even in the presence of our enemies. In the book of Romans at chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 at verses 31 through 39, Romans 8, 31 through 39, Paul in this chapter is talking about the great blessings that we have in Christ. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has already showed us the extent to which he's willing to go to provide for us. He gave us his only son. Can we not trust him to give us everything else that we need? Who shall then lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. What shall man do unto me? No one can take us from his presence. We can leave. We can depart. But no one can harm us, and no one can take us from his presence, because God protects us. He protects us from our enemies, and he gives us peace that protects our hearts and our minds. As David concluded this psalm, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Life will not be without unpleasant incident. It's going to happen. But as long as we have a loving shepherd caring for us, we know that there's always going to be goodness and mercy. Those of you who are older, look back over your life and tell me a time when there wasn't goodness and mercy available to you. Now maybe it was overshadowed by the bad things that you were going through at that moment, but you know it was there every step of the way. We're blessed in this life as Christians because we have mercy and we have goodness to accompany everything that we have to face. And then as we look towards eternity, Where else do we want to be other than dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? We have Him as our shepherd here, and we look forward to being with Him for eternity in heaven. The shepherd has a role to fill. The shepherd fills the role of provider and preserver, guardian and guide, physician and friend. David says, God does all of this for me. Now again, picture us a sheep. And we've encountered David. And David has said all of this about his shepherd. Wouldn't we want him to be our shepherd too? Do you need a Savior? Do you need a Savior? Do you need a shepherd? Are you tired of doing it on your own? Do you realize that the path that you're following in life right now, it's not providing for you, it's not protecting you, and it's not guiding you in the way that you need to go? You need a new shepherd. You need to come to the good shepherd. You need to follow David's shepherd. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Then you enter into the fold of the Lord. And if you've wandered away, you know what you need to do. You need to repent. And the moment you repent and turn around and ask forgiveness, you'll be face to face with your shepherd, who will pick you up and bring you gently back into the fold, where you can have that protection, where you can have that provision, where you can have that guidance to get you on to heaven's tableland. If you're here and the words of this psalm have moved you in such a way that you know you need to make your life right with God and you need to come unto the Good Shepherd, we extend this invitation and we ask you to come as together we stand and sing this song.